Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Philadelphia police say they've identified a person of interest in the murder of a woman whose body was found wrapped in a blanket in her garage. And investigators say they are searching for 34-year-old Miguel Aguilar. He is believed to be driving a white Chevy Express cargo van with Pennsylvania tags ZRR4023. So this gentleman is considered to be a suspect, a person of interest, I should say, who they want to question in the murder of his estranged wife, who we've been talking about. This is a Kale & Company News Live follow-up.
This was yesterday's story, right?
Yeah, so we had talked about this, that it all started when the victim's daughters thought it was funny that they hadn't heard from their mom. They were very concerned. Where is she? A very sweet lady, loved in the community. And so everybody started going door to door, looking for her, trying to figure out what could have happened. Well, in the end, they called police, who then investigated. They filed a missing persons report. They knew something was wrong. And they say that, in fact, 53-year-old Evelise Lugo was murdered and found in her home.
Tragic.
So a $20,000 reward now being offered for information leading to an arrest, as well as a conviction of whoever did this. He's being identified as a person of interest.
And what was the make, model, and plate number of the vehicle? I know you read it once, but maybe you can give that again to the audience in case somebody IDs them.
It's a cargo van. It's a white Chevy Express cargo van. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania tag ZRR4023.
Okay.
So we have that going on in Philadelphia with that active search today. Obviously, we're winding down 1 week from today, November 5th, Election Day. Former President Barack Obama, Bruce Springsteen, and John Legend in North Philadelphia, Lee Cora Center, in support of Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, as part of the When We Vote, We Win concert series.
Yeah, so they brought out John Legend. Was that a late addition? I guess Obama and the boss were not enough?
Well, I think that, I believe Springsteen only did a three-song set.
Yeah, it's three more than Beyonce did.
Man.
So the night was... They're saying that America is ready to turn the page, America ready for a better start, and we are ready for President Kamala Harris.
Who exactly are we turning the page from? Or the page on? I'm just wondering. That's the irony. Who's in office right now, Don?
I guess that everybody could agree.
We are turning the page on 2017.
Exactly.
Time to move forward.
So we've got that going on. We also have...
We have a little bit of John Legend.
Okay.
He's got a pretty damn good voice, by the way.
There you go. Yeah. John Legend for you.
Love his voice. Don't like the fact that he pimps Pfizer in commercials.
There's Bruce.
Oh, boy. Bruce did the working man bit again. Stalker was front row with a cell phone flashlight on.
And then a little bit of Barack Obama.
You may not agree with every decision she makes. You didn't agree with every decision I made. You didn't. But you won't find somebody who you agree with on everything. Here's one thing you have to think about. And then you can count on with Kamala. If you elect Kamala Harris... She will see you.
She will hear you.
Yeah. And then Barry went on to insult black men for thinking differently and voting the other way.
So we had that going on.
Pretty much sums it up, yeah.
Today we have, by the way, former President Donald J. Trump will be here in Pennsylvania. I know he was active on social media talking about a lot of the hijinks and shenanigans or alleged shenanigans across the region on Truth Social. But he'll be in Delaware County earlier in the day for a town hall meeting. I know he'll be joined by Mike Huckabee and former governor and preacher as well. And then he'll be heading on to, Allentown. I was almost at Reading, Allentown area today.
Basically the same thing. Yeah.
And, you know, I will say this, that with a little media note, and that is that in the media this morning, just monitoring local media and national media, they're still talking about the comic who's an insult comic who over the weekend at the huge Madison Square Garden epic, you know, Trump rally had made that joke that Puerto Rico is an island of garbage, something did not get a big laugh. But, they're still talking to the Puerto Rican community. Pennsylvania has one of the largest Puerto Rican communities as far as Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of PA, in the nation.
Yep.
I think the second largest.
Yeah, I've got two updates for you coming up after the big take this morning on that story. By the way, speaking of him going up to Allentown, he's going to be at the PPL Center. My best friend, you guys might have heard of this company, the payroll paycheck company called ADP. My buddy works there. It's right across the street from where Trump will be today. And his company told them they have the day off today, because there will be so much of a police presence and security presence.
The Allentown school districts, or that.
I know.
Yeah.
And my sister's son is off of school today.
Yeah.
Because of
really?
This. Yeah. It's wild. My buddy usually works remotely on Monday and Friday. They told him last week, come in Monday. You're going to work remotely on Tuesday because Trump's going to be right across the street from us, and it's going to be an S show.
Well, because they know that. You know, I mean, look at what happened at Madison Square Garden. You're always going to have an overflow. You're always going to have the crowd surrounding the building and the streets. Traffic is going to be jammed for hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a smart move.
Yep.
So we have that going on. We're also watching a local story. And I know that we were talking to Linda Kearns yesterday. There's a lot of concern as we wind down today, the last day in Pennsylvania to request that mail-in ballot. And at this point, you really need to go to your local, you know, voting place, wherever that is, that center, election bureau. Some of them have satellites, like in Philadelphia, as well as in Delaware County, Montgomery County. We've talked a lot about it. But I will bring up to you that locally, a friend of mine, actually, it's Val Biancanello. She was actually arrested. This was in Delco. And think about this. Trump is going to be in Delco. So she was at, you know, one of these centers yesterday. She is somebody who's a highly respected Delaware County and Philadelphia area businesswoman. She's a committee woman involved in the GOP. She's an RNC committee woman. She was there, and they were telling people, according to multiple witnesses, there are videos on this, but she was telling people in line when the workers came, and she said there were mostly Republicans in lines, and this was a Democrat who was telling them, unless you have an urgent reason to vote, you don't need to be here. That's the quote. And so she turned and said, no, you have a right. You can remain in line. And this was in the early afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to get people to come back the next day or even go back to another area because they had such long lines. And vast majority of the people in the lines were Republicans. So at one point, police showed up. They cuffed her. And Val, actually, they took her. They cuffed her to a bench in another area for a time, not even an hour, then let her go. So they were going to give her some kind of a citation for disorderly conduct.
Mm-hmm.
She said, what disorderly conduct? Everything's on video. I mean, there were people videoing and there were witnesses. And so she is somebody who, you know, really, even Michael Whatley at the national level was on social media last night, was tweeting about this or Xing about this. So a lot of concern about what is going on. And the message this morning, and this comes from really both sides, and even Al Schmidt has said this, you know, go to these centers, have your information, stay in line.
Mm-hmm.
They must process you.
Yeah.
And many are alleging that this is a desperate move and it is voter intimidation.
Yeah. Well, I've got another story for you. Our buddy Harry, that we all know, he sent me a text yesterday and he told me I could read this on the air.
He was active on social media.
And he was tweeting about it. Yeah, he was ticked off. This was at 1:10 p.m. He lives in Montgomery County, and his spot to vote early was in Norristown. I think it's right by the courthouse. So he said the following. I was napping, by the way, when he sent this, but I woke up to it, so I was like, all right, I'm going to go back to sleep for a little bit. He said, tried to vote early in person. What a scam. Wanted me to fill out a form to, quote, request a ballot that I wouldn't have been allowed to complete today, but would have had to come back tomorrow. What's the advantage? None for me. Ridiculous. That's his text. So he's showing up to vote early in person. The lady says to him, you need to request a ballot that he can't complete today anyway, but would have to come back tomorrow. Now, I don't know if that's protocol, if that makes sense to the Linda Kearns of the world out there, but I'm befuddled by that.
Well, the deal is that, I mean, Al Schmidt is, you know, on our air with Dom pretty much every other day, and he's all over the airwaves. Every television station, every radio station has him saying over and over that even though it's the last day, you should be able to go. You request it, you fill it out, you get it processed all in one day, and it's one-stop shopping. So according to, you know, the Secretary of State here in Pennsylvania, Al Schmidt is saying, no, this is something that you should be able to get done in one day. I would suggest that you can go online and you can print it out. You can fill it out, you can print it out, and I believe that then you could bring it to that might make things easier,
mm-hmm.
kind of process them.
Yep.
But, you know, to the point here, I mean, Val got arrested.
That's outrageous.
And you can look at the video. I was, you know, everybody was, you know, retweeting it, and like I say, it was making national news last night, but this kind of situation is just inaccurate. It's
mm-hmm.
wrong information.
Yep.
So just to, you know, give everybody that important information, if you're in line, stay in line, because today, of course, is the last day. So we got that going on. So if you don't get it done today, because the deadline to request the mail-in or absentee ballot is today, October 29th, it suggested you request your mail ballot. It was suggested you request it by back in October 21st. But you've then got the chance to return them to the county by 8 p.m. 1 week from today on Election Day.
Okay.
So that's your, if you don't get it done today, that's your, you know, final chance to still go. And I would also suggest that you go online. You can check to make sure that everything's kosher with, you know, your registration and
mm-hmm.
everything.
That's what I had to do with my change of address. I only moved 7 blocks,
that
but I had
smart.
To I had to change everything and make sure I was set up and ready to go.
Very smart.
Yep.
So just want to give those all important reminders, because apparently there is some misinformation that is under investigation. We are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group this morning. For a limited time, enjoy special offers across the entire Mercedes-Benz family of SUVs like the GLB, the GLC, and more. Find your Mercedes your way from Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Mercedes-Benz of Wilmington, or Mercedes-Benz of Atlantic City today. Piazza Auto Group, a gorgeous forecast in store as today we're kissing almost 70 degrees, upper 60s, sunny today. Tomorrow, 77 degrees with sunshine. And then for your Halloween, wow, we could set a record, by the way, that was set back in the 1940s if we reach 83 degrees. But it looks like now it'll be 82 degrees.
Holy cow.
Kale and Company News Live.
Even Harry Yetton can't believe this. Dawn, thank you very much. 6:18 as we get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by nobody, actually, but it is the Big Take, and it's the end of big media. You know, it's one thing when someone on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, X, Truth, Rumble, Fox News, Newsmax, or any media outlet or platform that challenges the mainstream media says that legacy media is dying. But it's another thing when an outlet that qualifies as legacy or mainstream media admits it and writes about it. That's exactly what Axios wrote yesterday, and it's the theme of today's Big Take. The headline from Axios, quote, "Behind the curtain, the big media era is over." This headline and its content rings true today, especially over the last 2 years and specifically over the last weekend. They write the following. The mainstream media's dominance in narrative and reality shaping in presidential elections shattered in 2024. How and where Americans get informed has broken into scores of pieces, from young men on Joe Rogan's podcasts to suburban women following Instagram influencers. Both campaigns, Trump and Harris, have targeted small, often little appreciated shards to reach hyper-specific pockets of potential voters. The campaigns are doing this with unorthodox, sometimes lengthy media appearances and precision ad targeting. Big traditional media, they still have their moments, presidential debates, town halls, sit-down classical interviews. But even then, most of the narrative shaping is done in quick Twitch video bites or reinterpretation on podcasts, social media platforms, or on YouTube. And these campaigns are doing this because, I personally believe, Americans are waking up. They realize that mainstream media is bought and paid for propaganda. But it also has to do with today's generation not knowing about traditional media. If I tell my daughters to put on Channel 3, 6, 10, or 29, they have no clue what the hell I'm talking about. And maybe, just maybe, that's the start of something great for the future, shaping of election narratives and politics in general. Trump talked about this concept on the Joe Rogan podcast on Friday after years and years of dealing with the fake news. Listen and watch this.
It's a creepy, corrupt business, and the media, to a large extent, acts as a propaganda arm for the Democratic Party.
It's not even believable.
Yeah, it's bizarre to watch, and most young people, I think, are aware of it. I think most boomers still, unfortunately, read the newspapers and believe in CNN.
But it's getting younger.
Yes.
Let me tell you, it's getting for us, for a conservative.
Yes.
And I consider myself a person.
It's the internet. It's because the internet's giving people information that they're not getting from anywhere else. And they like the Very Fine People hoax, the Russiagate hoax, all these different things that they've done, they tried to pin on you. That's like, it's a clear distortion of what you actually said.
The bloodbath hoax.
Yeah.
I was talking about the auto industry.
Yes.
It's a bloodbath because Japan
and
China are taking our auto, and I said, it's a bloodbath. They said, he used the word bloodbath.
If you don't win, it's going to be a bloodbath.
That's exactly what you said. It's a terrible thing they do.
But that's the problem with propagandists, because they take things out of context, and ultimately what they do is they diminish their own credibility, because people don't want to listen to them anymore, because they see that they've done that, and they recognize what's going on, and they feel insulted. Their intelligence is
getting insulted. Well, look at the ratings.
And this is why they hate Elon Musk. This is why they hate X, the legacy media and Democrats. They want 100% control of the message and the narrative. Whatever they deem fact is fact, and anything else is labeled misinformation and disinformation. J.D. Vance continues to be a man who steps into the lion's den of legacy media, much like Donald Trump has done for the better part of a decade. And J.D. Vance systematically picks the lapdogs apart in the lamestream media. He's been super, super impressive. But here was Vance carving up CNN's Jake Tapper. Listen and watch
Ask
this.
Ask yourself a basic question about network integrity. You guys talked about the Russia hoax nonstop.
The FBI was investigating
it. And so you took the words of unnamed FBI agents and put them on your network as if they were the gospel truth. You did it again and again. A viewer of your network would have believed that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin conspired in 2016.
No.
That was totally and preposterously false.
No.
Well, that's
what you just said
why.
Is false. We covered an FBI investigation. I don't know why you want to talk about the FBI investigation.
You covered it in a way that gave credence to anonymous sources' accusations. You did it yourself, your network.
Tapper would continue to get defensive in an effort to defend himself and his employer, but we all know that CNN was complicit in the ridiculous Russia hoax. How do we know? Non-legacy media, social media, the receipts are made available to us. The internet is forever, and we have the tape. Listen and watch.
Why this is interesting and significant is that President Trump and others are trying to say that the FBI is corrupt and they had this Steele dossier which they say has been discredited, which is not entirely true, and that it's all because of the Steele dossier, and this whole investigation is based on nonsense. In this op-ed from the founders of Fusion GPS, that the dossier was taken so seriously because it corroborated reports the Bureau had received from other sources, including one inside the Trump camp.
There is obviously a big move to undermine the Mueller investigation, and we see it all the time with all...
The witch hunt.
The witch hunt.
The hoax.
Big hoax. At the end of the day, we were attacked. The American people were attacked. And that can't happen again. And the idea that there are members of Congress or whoever trying to stop an investigation from going forward into what happened so we can make sure it doesn't happen again, it's weird.
It's weird.
It's not just weird. It's
unpatriotic. It's unpatriotic. It's un-American. There's actually another 2 minutes in that montage, but we all get the point. By the way, those are clips from 2018. Jake Tapper, complete weasel and a fraud, but this is what legacy media does. They spew propaganda from the Democrats, from the alphabet agencies in the swamp. It ends up being debunked in 12 to 18 months, but they already impact people's lives by what they say and what they share as gospel, especially around an election or post-election. They never apologize, and then they just move on to the next absurdity, because for them, it's all about creating hysteria, creating an enemy. And the ringleaders of hysteria and manufactured contrived nonsense is MSNBC. Did anybody notice this? Sunday night, while at Madison Square Garden for the Trump rally, MSNBC, not that you would be watching that channel, but they decided to use Nazi rally clips from 1939 at Madison Square Garden to label Trump's rally 85 years later in New York as a Nazi rally. They're going all in on Trump is Hitler. Listen and watch MSNBC.
Right now, you see it there on your screen, in that place is particularly chilling because in 1939, more than 20,000 supporters of a different fascist leader, Adolf Hitler, packed the garden for a so-called pro-America rally, a rally where speakers voiced anti-Semitic rhetoric from a stage draped with Nazi banners. When a Jewish protester rushed the stage, the Associated Press reported, quote, instantly, a dozen or more stormtroopers set upon him, knocking him down and beating him as he held his head in his arms.
Pretty sure I saw multiple Israeli flags at Trump's rally Sunday night. I know for a fact Sid Rosenberg, morning host in New York City radio, who's Jewish, was asked to speak. Pretty sure Trump's own grandchildren are Jewish. And I'm pretty sure that the left has been the party of anti-Semitism since October 7th, 2023. And I'm damn sure that MSNBC is unwatchable. And it's unwatchable for many reasons, but maybe none bigger than Morning Joe and Mika Brzezinski. And once the left-wing crisis actor is done putting on her theatrical performance on MSNBC, she then bottles her tears up and transports them onto ABC's The View. Listen and watch.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? We got to wake up. And here's the good news, because I come with such dire warnings, and I mean them. From the bottom of my heart, as a daughter of refugees who came here escaping war, came here for America to be a part of a democracy, to be a part of building something beautiful where they could be free. I'm telling you, the good news is that I believe women will be the beacon in this election.
You know, women could be the reason why Kamala Harris wins, but the manufactured hyperventilating from Mika, trying to make herself get emotional, that went on, by the way, for many minutes as she issued her dire warnings about immigration, abortion, and Trump's garden rally. This is why the legacy media is done. This is why this show beats CNN. This is why Elon Musk is being investigated. This is why X was taken down in Brazil. This is why the Washington Post is hemorrhaging subscribers. And this is why the Philadelphia Inquirer has to give away their paper on a daily basis. Because it's all coordinated, calculated copy points in mass distribution for the puppets to parrot on their platform. That's what the legacy media is about. But the legacy media did not get an A in calculus. Because if they did, they would have anticipated this shift away from their drivel as Americans seek alternative sources of information. And as Axios self-admits, this is the end of the big media era. And this is also the end of the Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210, you can do so. Social media, that's fine as well. At 1210 WPHT on X, and of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT, and while you're there, make Stalker happy. Hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll come back. We'll give you some updates from the fallout, from the joke that did not land at Trump's rally. What is the impact in Pennsylvania? We'll give you those details coming up next. Kale and Company, Tuesday morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The NBA is back, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casinos, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone, that's right, everyone, 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip off a buzzer beater and place a $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. By the way, you can place a $5 bet on anything. You have a futures bet, how far you think your Philadelphia 76ers are going to go. They make the playoffs, championship, all of that. You can place it right now, $5, and you can get 3 months of NBA League Pass for free, courtesy of FanDuel. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more this NBA season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA and the official partner of 1210 WPHT, 21 and over. President PA, after a 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly, but you can cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tim Wall said, I'll see your fang fang and raise you a wang. And the Washington Post.
What?
You like that one? These are all scripted, by the way. I was working on this material last night. Yeah. Going to give Gutfeld and Fela a run for their money. I'm just kidding. The Washington Post dealing with more Bezos backlash. And could Donald Trump, a shock poll that I thought was interesting, is there a small little blue state that Trump might be able to flip? And if he is able to, what does that mean about other big blue states that maybe he's knocking on the door of? But, Don, I just wanted to get your thoughts to what we talked about. It's really interesting because I was thinking about Trump and all the media appearances and the way he handles the media. So you have McDonald's 9 days ago. He does Joe Rogan last Friday. He does Madison Square Garden 2 days ago. When he got shut down on Twitter, he created Truth Social. Mm-hmm. Now he's back on Twitter, but it's called X, and Elon Musk purchased it. Trump has shown all of us that he does not need the mainstream media. He can kind of go around them to get his message out. But the mainstream media, despite calling him Adolf Hitler, they need him. And without Trump, they have no content. And I think that's one of the big reasons why the media hates him. And I think it's one of the biggest scams of all time when the media, which is supposed to be objective journalists, are rooting for Trump to lose and be gone so we can turn the page. Because the reality is, in many ways, Don, he's made their life profitable for the last 9 years. Isn't that one of the biggest hypocritical statements of all time of, we want Trump gone, but damn, we can't quit him?
I think that, you know, this is the only strategy they feel they can possibly eke out any wins.
That's all they have.
In 1 week. So, obviously, there is a wave of, you know, a Republican passion, or not even Republican passion. And that's a piece of it, that with Trump, how many other candidates can we think of, even in our history, where you have somebody, and that was to what Senator Fetterman talked about as a Democrat, saying, look at the Trump store, look at, you know, the people who support Trump. So he has become a phenomenon. And the fact that he has been able to grow the tent, bring in people like Elon Musk and that sort of thing. So there's a celebrity power with him and an it power. And I think Democrats, as far as, and Republicans in the swamp, have never seen anybody like him or a candidate like him. And so that's what, I mean, I was texting late into the night with so many girlfriends who are talking about everything, the nonsense that's going on, and just the concern that they've said that there's this desperation in the air, if you will, mm-hmm. of feeling like there are threats out there, there's something building, and they're just saying, everybody be calm, get in line, try to vote today, get this done early, what's going to happen? And so that to me is sad that people have to think that way, that there's a feeling among conservatives and Republicans and Trump voters in particular that, you know, we are a target.
Mm-hmm.
And that apparently they think it's fair. We are fair game to be attacked. That's another piece of this that is concerning to me.
You know, it's interesting, the reaction, and you kind of headlined it in the news about the fallout that continues from Trump's shock comic. A report out, if you want to believe it, and I have no reason to believe that this is not true. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, Tony Hinchcliffe, the stand-up who is very, very raunchy, I am very unfamiliar with a lot of his work. I think I've only ever seen him twice, and both times have been in the context of this show with the cut sheet. So, according to the Bulwark, Donald Trump's campaign was left scrambling Sunday night after roast comic Tony Hinchcliffe made insulting jokes, as we know, we played it yesterday, about Hispanic and black people on stage at Trump's garden rally. Now, the lines sparked immediate backlash and even condemnation from fellow Republicans, but it doesn't end there. And we told you, we played you, I think we gave the quotes of Rick Scott from Florida as well, and many people distancing themselves, as well as the Trump campaign from this. But according to four top campaign sources, they said it could have been worse. Quote, I got to be careful here not to read the quiet part out loud, but I'll let you use your imagination.
Yeah.
He had a joke calling Vice President Kamala Harris a C word.
Yeah.
A four letter C word.
Yeah, we know the word.
Yes. It's a four letter C word.
See you next Tuesday.
Thank you.
There it is.
Thank you, Dawn.
And in these discussions, they say, quote, let's just say it was a red flag. Hinchcliffe's remarks and the ensuing backlash spark questions about how much an offensive speech was allowed at such a high-profile rally.
Yeah.
Whether it was deliberate and why a campaign would even elevate a roast master comic in the closing days of a tight race for the White House. Campaign staffers had asked all speakers to submit their drafts of their speeches ahead of time before they loaded them into the teleprompter, according to the four aforementioned sources. Once the objectionable C joke was spotted, the sources said a staffer asked Hinchcliffe to strike it, and he complied. Those sources insisted they did not spot the other objectionable lines, which we're talking about the Puerto Rico joke and the black joke.
Don't you think, I mean, Greg Stocker, you're the boss man, right?
Yes,
you're the brand manager.
Yep.
So let's just ask Greg, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, if you saw somebody have the see you next Tuesday word in their copy, might you not, I don't know, pull them out
100%.
Or look at the
yep.
Like,
I mean, there's actually been a time or two where I've had something in a big take and Stocker has read it in advance and said, you might want to tweak that.
All I'm saying is that we are, this is, again, I said this yesterday, that comic and that whole thing was not intended for us. It was not intended for, and when I mean us, I mean the people who are already in the camp. That was for people who, they are making, Trump is doing, has killed Tony in his act.
Yeah.
He's on Joe Rogan. He's been on Theo Vaughn. Like they are reaching a demographic that they feel like doesn't necessarily vote, but a look at this and be like, this guy's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, you
know,
he's pretty edgy. That took some guts.
When the pearl clutching from the mainstream media is like, oh, the joke. Oh my God, the joke. It's every Puerto Rican is going to be offended by it. Like, are you kidding?
I don't think it really changes much at all.
Is this what we're doing now? Like, the media over the top reaction to this is ridiculous.
Well, it's because they're grasping at straws.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, okay. If we're talking about the ridiculous piece of this, and a lot of people were calling in yesterday throughout the day, just saying they would have taken something. But number one, we all know that Greg would have just scratched that out of his script, right? That just would have not gone over. Said, hey, why don't you leave the Puerto Rico? Let's go through this. Let's shorten you to about the 3 minute set, but let's take out the island of Puerto Rico, looking at. And I will point out, he was not talking about the beautiful people of Puerto Rico. He was talking about the island itself.
Is this any different than the country we talked about multiple times on this show where Trump said it was like floating raw sewage? What nation was that? Where it's an accurate description and assessment of what's going on in that country?
Yeah, I think it's...
S-hole country.
Yeah, it's the S-hole country.
I think it's Haiti or something like that. Where there's actually...
Yes!
Where there's actually garbage floating.
Now,
in the,
speaking of garbage, Phil, let's throw up this graphic because I'm going to defend the roast here for the actual truth. And Phil, let's put these up one by one. These are media headlines about Puerto Rico's garbage problem in their territory. This was written on January 4th of 2018. Puerto Rico's trash problem. And you can see all the debris, all the garbage. The second one, written on February 25th of 2021. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, sues Puerto Rico City over landfill overflow. The agency is asking a federal judge to order Toa Alta to address the ongoing environmental threats posed by overflowing its landfill. Let's go to the next slide, shall we? I'm like a professor here. Puerto Rico. Trash crisis leaves Puerto Rico near the brink. Most of Puerto Rico's landfills fail to meet federal standards and are almost full. Residents and experts worry that trash will soon overwhelm the region. And I believe there's a fourth and final one here. My closing statement. After Maria, the hurricane, Puerto Rico struggles under the weight of its own garbage. So, and that's from December of 2017, if you're watching those slides on YouTube. So, if it's factually correct and it's a joke, find your testicles and return them to where they belong. Oh my God.
I mean, George Lopez has made a career. And granted, he's, you know, you can, when you're part of the tribe, you can make jokes. I understand that. But like, he's made a career out of these type of jokes.
Funny you say that. Can we play that real quick?
Oh.
This is,
I didn't know where you're going.
I mean, we're like dancing in here, Marty.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. K3, George Lopez. This is George Lopez at the Kamala Harris rally where he mocks and makes jokes.
Donald Trump said he was going to build a wall. And George Lopez said, you better build it in one day, because if you leave that material out there overnight.
Yeah. 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 Everybody's going to come in. We totally get the joke. But as you were saying, Star.
Boy, George Lopez looks.
I know. It looks like Al Pacino.
Holy man. Man. YouTube.com/10TV.
Don, you were saying as well?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, when you think, so to the point that many people on social media have made, many of our callers, you know, responding to everything yesterday and talking about this, saying they were going to take something to try to run with. But there's still this morning, that story has legs about Puerto Rico. And here in Pennsylvania, we have a huge population of Puerto Ricans who are our fellow Americans. And, you know, a lot of that being pointed out, with especially Trump headed here today. But I will say, The most egregious thing that I think I've ever seen in my career was that MSNBC was using the Trump rally, which I think was epic, in Madison Square Garden for a Republican to go there, hold that huge, you know, that huge rally, get that response, that crowd at MSG. But then to have them put up the black and white video of an actual Nazi party rally that happened in the late 1930s mm-hmm. and compare it to that was just so far out egregious. I think it tops the list. To me, that was that deserves an FCC review.
Yeah, that's not journalism.
That was, oh my goodness. And it's such an insult, by the way, to so many of the Jews who were in the crowd. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what there were people who are, you know, people of faith, and were at the rally, and they were saying, oh, gee, I didn't know that we Jews would have attended a Nazi rally. And they're posting pictures of themselves online on social media to point out there were many, many Jews in attendance there at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
How dare somebody compare the Holocaust or Nazi Germany? And where's the pushback on that?
Right.
What an insult.
Yeah.
To what happened, and the murder, the mass murder of 6+ million people and Jews that happened in, under the Nazis and Hitler. It's horrifying to me that anybody allows that to happen and that they would say that. And,
yeah.
And there you had, you played Mika. Mika's losing it.
Oh, she's just nauseating.
Wow.
I just, you know, I was hearing a lot of people say, well, what that comic said was racist.
They are. Greg, what, they're saying it? It. News people on our sister station are calling it a racist, like, slur or something of that nature.
It's a joke.
That's
it's
what they're
comedy.
Saying.
It's comedy. I mean, okay, so you didn't find it funny. Maybe right. The audience, maybe it landed flat. That's what comedians do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you don't want to have a roast comedian there, that's what he is. Did anybody see the Tom Brady roast?
I mean,
like he was on fire yeah. there. He was talking about Nazis and Jewish people. He had like it's. This is what he does.
The female was obnoxious at the Brady roast. What's her name?
Oh no, she was amazing.
I love her.
She was
right, but it was raunchy, but it was great.
But I'm saying, if this is what this guy does, if you didn't want him there, then you shouldn't have had him there. And by the way, like this is.
But here's the million dollar question.
This is what your kids are listening to.
Nikki Glaser.
This is what the 18 to 29 year olds who usually don't vote. You might get a sliver of them out if they hear him on Kill Tony or they hear him on Joe Rogan. So, right. Like, it's not intended for us.
Right.
It's not intended for you.
So
if you're offended by it, it's not intended for you.
So then let's ask the question then, because if the vetting process did discover the see you next Tuesday word, as Dawn eloquently labeled it, we talk about being tone deaf, right? Being able to read the room. If you know the media is the way they are over the last 9 years, and you're in the stretch run here, of Democrats in the media calling you Hitler. Doesn't somebody of these, quote, four sources that are screening all of these scripts before they're loaded and inserted into the teleprompter, doesn't somebody have to say, you know what, let's scratch this and strike this one as well. I know it's not going to impact the election, but we don't need to give the donkeys and the mainstream media any fodder, right? Mm-hmm. So it makes you wonder if Tony just ad-libbed this. And remember, we've seen on SNL where, you know, there's a vetting process and then you get up there and you say something that wasn't in the script and then the producers are like, damn, he did it to us again. I wonder if that's what happened, because people are losing their minds over this. Politico's got a story out with Trump's Puerto Rico fallout is spreading like wildfire mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania.
Well, they're using this.
And once again, the media,
you know, is complicit with this. And so that's all you're hearing. And that's what the individuals, you know, with Trump now headed here, that's what everybody's hearing in the news as far as this comment about Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So his campaign needs to come out front and center. I know Marco Rubio was all over it, but if I am with the Trump campaign, I'm saying get somebody like a Marco Rubio or somebody in the Puerto Rican community who's with the RNC or GOP to do a bilingual rally. I'm serious. As he's headed to Allentown today.
Yeah, big Hispanic population.
Big, huge Puerto Rican.
Yep.
Specifically a Puerto Rican population.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had callers who say, I'm a proud Puerto Rican. Remember that a couple weeks ago? A big Puerto Rican population in Chester County as well. And so,
it's actually Hispanic, though, right? Because Puerto Rico is
like, no. But specifically, if you're Puerto Rican, you're saying I'm poor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're,
it's technically now what, a territory of the United States is how they officially describe it.
You're a U.S. citizen. That's our fellow Americans. But I would say, if it were me, I would definitely do a bilingual rally. I would have people who speak Spanish who are there today, and I would definitely, you know, just sort this out and push back hard on this.
Here's what's a tough sell to me, and with Politico, with what they're talking about here, a nonpartisan Puerto Rican group drafted a letter urging its members to oppose Trump on Election Day. I would argue this, and I just try to look at things logically. If I was a Puerto Rican voter that is undecided, there's no way a joke is going to get me to go in the camp of Kamala Harris. There's no way, if I'm a Puerto Rican voter who was voting Trump and I hear that joke, it's going to make me rescind my vote for Donald Trump. Like, I'm not going through inflation and open borders and all the terrible stuff of Kamala Harris over a joke. So I think, honestly, this is a headline. This is stuff that's talk show fodder. I really don't believe this moves the needle election-wise. After 9 years, if you're not decided on Trump, I don't think a joke from a roaster and a comic is going to change your opinion or move it.
I would just, I think with a campaign, you do have to be nimble.
Oh, yes.
And I think it's important that they push back hard on this. And, I mean...
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God, I do. I feel like this
he's going to be asked this about
is,
this.
This is a mainstream media pearl-clutching nonsense. I think the majority of people, first of all, didn't know what happened, and second of all, don't care.
They were already holding a news conference yesterday. And this is in Reading. Mayor Eddie Moran and Latino community leaders,
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia City Council members. It was Council Member Lozada. They held a press conference, and they are calling out this comedian, and the headline is racist.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, these are people across from Reading, Philadelphia, the Puerto Rican community, the Hispanic community. They're holding news conferences. They're going door to door. They are campaigning on this issue, saying this is what Republicans and specifically Trump and Republicans think about you, that you're garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're twisting this language.
Yep.
That's what they're doing.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll take your thoughts. We'll take your reactions. You can also reach us on social media and let it rip in the comments section on YouTube. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two on the other side. And then, Mr. Walls, Tim Walls, what do we have here?
He's just a wang.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Let's have this conversation, shall we?
Can't wait to hear this one.
Back after this with hour two.
We are off to paradise. Once again, the Italian Riviera on a gastronomical event, which only conservative tours can deliver. Join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. They are the best tour operator in all of Italy. I can tell you that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78. Yes, that does include your airfare, $53.78. Dining events at wineries in Tuscany. And yes, we will toast Romina and Lorenzo. We'll be visiting an authentic farm to see how Parmesan cheese is crafted by hand. Call toll-free 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com. Scroll down. You'll see my picture. You'll see our tour that we're going to take, which includes hidden Italian villages on the itinerary. Villages, by the way, you've never seen. They are stunning. Like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, Milan. And we will conclude on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola la Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.